Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. Glad you're with us. Whatever station you find us every day or whether online, welcome to the program. Bob, Kelly, Andrew, we're in the Southern Bancorp studio here in beautiful Oak Grove in a gorgeous day. A little cool, but very, very nice. Opening segment of the show sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, which is a great place to take your family for a good meal tonight or cater your next special event. Dickey's does a wonderful job of catering, and we certainly recommend them. Imagine this. We're going to talk baseball today. Have we talked baseball this week?
Can't get enough, can we?
Joe Healy from D1's about to join us. Also, Jarrett Hoffpower, absolute legend with Southern Miss Baseball, and now the coach of Presbyterian Christian School. He's going to be on the show. And, yes, we're going to hear a little bit from Chris Jones about spring football under the new regime here at Southern Miss. But let's get to it. Remind you quickly about our podcast, Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Joe Healy writes for D1 Baseball, and we're always very happy to have him on the program. And Joe, first of all, welcome back. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Happy to be here.
All right, tell me if I read too much into this, but I thought Tuesday night was just a great illustration of the greatness of college baseball in our tiny little state here of Mississippi. Two top 20 baseball teams squared off in the capital city. Big, enthusiastic crowd. Really good, clean, exciting college baseball. An example of the way this sport has been elevated in the Magnolia State. Is that fair to say, Joe?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, I think it stands, you know, if not alone, in a small group of states that really are all the way in on college baseball, and you see it with nights like on Tuesday. I think one of the other states that, just as a side note, is South Carolina. I mean, South Carolina played College of Charleston on Tuesday, and it had a great crowd. And so it feels a little bit similar where, you know, it's not just the biggest names in that state that have devoted fan bases and have national aspirations and Omaha aspirations. It's some of the programs, you know, that are a tier down from there that have similar aspirations. So yeah, I think you're right on there. I think it's something that makes college baseball special in general, and certainly in the state of Mississippi.
Now I want to ask you about RPI. That is probably the most confusing thing in the world. Should we pay a lot of attention this time of the year to RPI?
Short answer is no. Because, you know, the RPI is I understand why it's confusing now when you look at it, as I'm actually looking at it right now, that UTRGV is 7 in the RPI. Like, you know, so I get why it's confusing, but also one of the issues with it is that it's overly simplistic. Like, it's just simply a formula of 50% of it is your record, 50% of it is your opponent's record, or I'm sorry, 25% of it is your opponent's record, and 25% is your opponent's record. And that's all that's built into it. There's a little bit of a bump if you get a road win, but that's kind of it. And you compare that to basketball, right, where, you know, we just got done, you know, looking at the brackets get revealed, and they talk about, you know, KenPom and Bart Torvik and, you know, all these predictive rankings. And in baseball, we just have the RPI. And so that's the frustrating part of it, is that we just don't have that much data we're using to decide who the best teams in college baseball are. We've kind of settled on RPI and everyone complains about it, but we never really do anything about it. So that is frustrating. But I would say give it until at least April 1. But really, I would say more like the middle of April before you start reading too much into the RPI.
Joe, wasn't there a discussion to a heavy discussion to include, and the name of it escapes me, but there's RPI, and then there's another metric I think that they're using either this year or next year to help gauge the strength of schedule of teams. Am I right on that, or am I just off?
Well, yeah, there's discussions of it. There was the KPI.
That's it.
Yeah, that was thrown in as a secondary metric, and here's where it also gets confusing. And I wrote this. This is not just me, like, spouting off about it. I wrote this at the time, that they say, well, you know, we're putting the KPI on the baseball team sheets, but it's not an official metric. It's just there for consideration. And it's like, well, what is the difference? If it's on the sheet and you want them to consider it, how is it not an official metric? I just don't really understand what that difference is, to be honest with you. And I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but, you know, I think I'd be able to understand that. So there's that. You know, we've worked with, and this is a little bit of a shameless plug, at D1 Baseball, we have a partnership with a group called 643 Analytics that has put together a metric called DSR that is intriguing. I'm not smart enough to really be able to give you a detailed breakdown on where it's different and where it would be better, but at least we're talking, I guess. So as someone who loves college baseball, I'm frustrated that the way our field is selected is so simplistic. I think it kind of makes college baseball look small time, especially given that RPI used to exist in other sports and all the other sports have scrapped it since then, and baseball is kind of the only one left. So hopefully we'll evolve at some point, but so far not just yet.
And real quick, just what is the differences with KPI compared to RPI, or is it just virtually the same thing, or is there one thing that it does differently compared to RPI?
Yeah, there are some things that it does a little bit differently. The biggest, and again, I'll be simplistic with it because I truly don't have all the nuts and bolts information on it because I'm not a data journalist. But the large thing is it kind of groups the teams into quads a little bit differently. So it does value certain wins differently. And in fairness to them, that is one of the things that is a critique of RPI, is that if you lose one game, and I'm sure Southern Miss fans know this well, because, you know, you might play some games against teams in the SWAC, for example. And, you know, if you lose one game to a team that has an RPI of 250, like, that hurts you a lot more than a win against Ole Miss helps you, right? So the KPI does kind of smooth out some of those types of rough edges. And that's a worthwhile pursuit, for sure. I'm not sure if it's we have a complete answer there in terms of if it is actually better, but that is a worthwhile pursuit to try to smooth out.
Joe, one of the things that people have been talking about around here was based on last weekend's results. I know that some of what we call bridge jumpers on the show here, that anytime something Southern Miss loses a game, they're ready to take the plunge off the nearest highway bridge. But Southern Miss lost the final game against Old Dominion, yet the RPI improved. Troy, on the other hand, had a very successful weekend and then dropped out of the top 25. You say you're not an expert, but you're as close to the Wizard of Oz as we have. So how do we explain either of those scenarios?
If I am the Wizard of Oz, it is definitely a situation where you should not look at the man behind the curtain, for sure.
Don't pay any attention to him.
Yeah, that's right. The thing with Troy, just real quick, is we hated to drop them out, to be honest. It was one of those weeks where they got squeezed because we had to put some teams in. So our opinion hasn't really changed about Troy. But they just got pushed out, and we hated to do it, honestly, speaking at least for myself. And then, yeah, I mean, the situation with losing a game at Old Dominion and going up, I mean, first of all, I think Old Dominion is better than its record, so I will say that. I don't think there's any shame in that loss. And then beyond that, that's an example of exactly why it's just, you know, still too early to get overly overheated about any sort of RPI stuff. Like, as I scroll here, like, you still see teams that are dropping 15, 20 spots just with one loss in the midweek. And so that's how you know things are still a little too volatile to be overly married to them.
Yeah. Now, let's clarify. Southern Miss went up in the D1 poll, but the RPI did drop when they lost.
Correct.
ODU. Yeah. Thank you for that correction, yes. Bob. And while you were talking, we were talking about University of Texas Rio Grande Valley, which is a school that still, with all due respect to them, not a lot of people had heard of. What other schools in D1, Joe, have had really good seasons that maybe people don't know a lot about?
I would throw Western Kentucky out there. They are 20-1. They have a really interesting coach, a guy named Mark Rardin, who was a junior college coach, I believe, at Iowa Western, but I'm not 100% sure on that, but that's a JUCO powerhouse, so that would make some sense. But he's doing a really nice job there. But the trick is, and this actually circles back to our discussion about RPI and postseason stuff, I think CUSA has a chance to get a couple teams into regionals. I think, you know, obviously we know DBU is good, but Liberty's also having a really nice year. They have wins over Wake Forest, Duke, NC State, but Western Kentucky has not played a very good schedule. They're 20-1, but I think they're legitimately good, and so it could be a situation for CUSA where they win the conference, but their RPI is like 75, and it ends up hurting CUSA, and they don't end up getting two bids because the league was won by a team that is not going to be in the mix for an at-large bid, more than likely, unless they go something ridiculous like 50-6 or something like that. So that's the one that stands out to me is a team kind of, I don't want to say out of left field, but pretty darn close to it. The other one I'll throw out there is Richmond. The Atlantic 10's a league that you never know what you're going to get year to year. It's been a while since Richmond's been good, but they are off to a good start as well, have some wins over ACC clubs. So those two teams are off to hot starts. Wouldn't be shocked if we have one or, you know, one of them ranked at some point here pretty soon, because, you know, you start to get up to 25, 26-1. We kind of have to pay attention to you regardless of who it's against.
Hey, Joe, unfortunately, that segment went by very quickly. We really appreciate your participation in our show. And, hey, on behalf of all the Southern Miss Baseball Nation, we appreciate the love that D1's been showing the Golden Eagles here lately, my man.
Yeah, happy to do it. They've earned it. So we're happy to shine a light on programs that care about baseball and perform well.
All right, Joe. Thanks a lot. Joe Healy, D1, the go-to source now, I think it's safe to say, for college baseball. Now, you talk about a dude that could play. That's our next guest, Kelly. He could swing the bat.
Jarrett Hoffpower, former Golden Eagle and former St. Louis Cardinal, former big leaguer, now high school coach, next on the Eagle Hour.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back to the show. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street, campusbookmart.net. That's where you'll find Miss Kathleen and all the Southern Miss apparel you could ever imagine, right across the street from the Southern Miss campus. I want to thank Joe Healy from D1 Baseball for joining us in the opening segment of the show. Our next guest will need no introduction if you're a Southern Miss baseball fan. He holds the USM record for the most hits in a single season at 109, the most RBI in a single season at 92. He played in 185 games, had 245 hits, 22 home runs, 177 RBIs, and scored 153 runs. He was drafted in the sixth round of Major League Baseball in 2004, and now he coaches our local high school Presbyterian Christian School. We want to welcome Jarrett Hoffpower to the Eagle Hour. Did you remember all those awesome stats, Jarrett?
I don't, man. It seems like a long time ago.
Well, I verified with Jack Duggan, your records stand strong to this day. Nobody has out hit you or knocked in more runs in a single season than you did.
Well, we got to get somebody going. We got to take care of that record.
Well, you're now coaching PCS, and we really appreciate you coming on the show. And we were talking yesterday about how great high school baseball here is in the state of Mississippi, and Andrew pointed out how good all the teams are here in the Pine Belt, including yours. And you've got a player right now that's going to be a Golden Eagle in the future, right?
We do. We got a Bankston Walters, who's a he's a pitcher. He's a junior this year. He had a really good year last year and continues to have another good year this year. And you know, one of those guys that's just you know, he's a hard-nosed player, and he's one that Coach Oz is going to love, and going to look good in that black and gold for sure.
And for the listeners, the reigning Pine Belt Sports Pitcher of the Year, but. You know, as great of a player as Bankston is, and by the way, he's huge. Like, I mean, he could pass off as 30. I mean, he's just a humongous human being. But he's, and I can honestly say, great human being too. Isn't that right?
Absolutely, man. He is. He's you know, he coming into his sophomore year last year. He really, really dedicated to getting his body in shape, man. He came back his sophomore year and just looked like a completely different person. And like you said, he's a grown man out there for sure.
What, I guess, you know, on the mound, because I would think, and yeah, he can swing it, and I know he's a solid first baseman, but I would think he's probably going to be more so just a pitcher at Southern Miss for now.
Yeah, I think so. He'll kind of focus in that area.
Talk to us about his skill set. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's one that they can't wait to get on campus.
Yeah, I mean, he's a kid who's probably one of the most polished high school pitchers. You know, I'm even going back to last year as a sophomore, just a strike thrower, three-pitch guy who can, you know, throw a strike in any count with any pitch. And, you know, we kind of laugh. We go, man, you know, sometimes it's okay to throw balls, you know, if you're trying to get a swing and miss or some things like that. But that's just the type of command he has on the mound. And just a competitor, true competitor, and you know, when things are on the line, you want the ball in his hand for sure.
And he threw a no-hitter on Monday, is that right?
He did. He first one in school history Monday. I think it was 15 strikeouts, 16 strikeouts, something like that, and it was a pretty impressive outing.
Now, Jared, it's one thing to be able to play the game at your level that you've played, you know, in the bigs, but it's sometimes different to be able to teach what you know to younger, less experienced players. And sometimes Major League Baseball players don't make very good coaches, with all due respect to those guys. How have you learned to be able to get down on their level, if you will, and be as good a teacher as you were a player?
You know, I'm not so sure that I'm a great teacher. I appreciate that. I hope I am. But, you know, it goes back to, I mean, heck, you know, my dad did it for 30 plus years at the high school level, and you know, got to see him kind of the same deal. I mean, he coached everybody from 10-year-olds to 18-year-olds, you know, for 30 years. So I got to see it and saw how he handled kids, and you know, saw how kids responded and things like that. And but you know, you're right. You got to kind of, you know, you take away all that stuff, because high school kids aren't all college kids, and there aren't all professional kids. And you know, you hope to have one or two get to play at those levels, but ultimately 95-98% of them are going to just be high school players, and you got to kind of relate to that and help them understand the game on that level and try to get the best out of them.
And Jarrett Hoffpower, when you were playing at Southern Miss, of course every kid wants, their dream is to play in the bigs, but at what point, or was there any specific incident that led you, was the first time that it dawned upon you, hey, I might be able to play big league baseball?
You know, for me, it's funny, people ask that. You know, I've gotten that question a lot, and the answer is no. I just played every day. I went and played the best I could every single day and tried to help my team win. And fortunately for me, some good things happened, you know, with that kind of being my mentality. And I just wanted to be the toughest, hardest out there was. And, you know, you look up at the end of the year and all those numbers take care of themselves. And, you know, even the year I had, the junior year with a few records, it never even dawned on me, to be honest with you, until after the year. I just kind of kept my head down and had really good players around me, and you play hard, and, you know, you look up and you go, dang, I had a pretty good year, you know, and then obviously get drafted, and you kind of keep that mentality, and got a chance to play in the big leagues for a little while, and, you know, had a great baseball career.
Now, a native, if I'm not mistaken, of the booming metropolis of Vidalia, Louisiana?
That's it.
Okay.
That's right.
So I'm sure you had other choices besides Southern Miss. What was the trump card? What led you to Hattiesburg?
You know, during that time you got three visits, and my three visits were actually Southern Miss. I went to Mississippi State on a visit, and McNeese State in Louisiana. So that was the only school in Louisiana that I really visited. I had some more you know, had some more schools recruiting me, but that was my three choices. I had some buddies going to McNeese as well, and we played on a summer team together, so that was kind of the tie there. And Mississippi State, you know, had some coaches that coached Josh before me, who kind of knew about us, and that was the tie there. But ultimately, just coming here watching Josh play and the atmosphere and the fans and Coach Palmer and Coach Burris and those guys, and, you know, then we got Coach Barry in my year. I think that was it. You know, it just felt like home. It felt like a really blue collar, tough type program, and that was the kind of player I was, and I thought I'd be a good fit here. And you know, it was a really good decision for me.
And the final question that I have is: your dad Johnny has always been kind of a, well, I was going to use a different term, but a tough guy.
Oh, he's a character.
Yeah. So, how would you describe the relationship between you and your dad as a coach, father, player, son?
I mean, as a coach, he's obviously, you know, that's all I ever knew growing up. He was my coach, you know, and I had a really good way of, and him as well, of kind of separating the coach versus dad. You know, when I was, anytime I walked in the gate of a baseball field, he was coach to me, you know, and kind of, you know, treat him with that type of respect. And then you get home, or, you know, on the ride home, then he becomes dad, and then we start, you know, then he kind of gives you the dad information from there. And and as I've gotten older, you know, really become one of, you know, my best friend. I mean, that's kind of what you want as a dad. You know, you want your kids to kind of think of you that way. And I mean, I talk to him every day, and fortunately he's up here with us now. They've moved to Hattiesburg, so him and mom, we get to see him pretty much every day. And so it's been a blessing. Yeah, I mean, he and mom have been, you know, been mine and Josh's number one fan since day one, so we've been blessed there for sure.
I think what he's trying to say, Bob, is on the way home is when his dad tore his tail up.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Can't do that these days. Hey, Jared, you were part of the first team that brought a regional tournament here, and now that's really become regional, super regionals, the expectation every year. For Southern Miss baseball, you must take a lot of pride in seeing the national level of the program these days.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, it was tell this story a lot. My first year, I don't know how many wins we had or whatever, but we were kind of right there on the line, you know, didn't get many regionals at that time. And, you know, Coach Palmer called us all in the locker room there, and we got to watch the show or whatever, and our name never got called. And that's a feeling that kind of bothered me. And I remember going to Coach Palmer and saying, that's the last time you're going to have that feeling. And the next year we had a really good year, got to host that year. And it's been on the up and up from there, man. It's just been incredible to watch. Awesome as a fan to come see these guys, and the atmosphere still getting better and better, and proud to be a part of it for sure.
Well, you didn't enjoy that much Tuesday night then, did you, Jared?
No, I did not.
None of us did, Jared. Hey, man, thanks very much for coming on our show, and best of luck to you and your ball team this year, and we really appreciate your time. It was fun talking to you.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Jared Hoffpower, everybody. One of the true greats, Kelly. I don't think that's any distortion, is it?
And there's a guy, too, that this should be a good lesson for all the smaller guys. The Hoffpower brothers, Josh and Jared, neither one of them are very big guys.
Mm-hmm.
But they never let their lack of, you know, size necessarily dictate what kind of player they were going to be.
Baseball IQ through the roof.
That helps, doesn't it? And you have to make up for it in other ways.
Talk a little bit about football here from Chris Jones next on the Eagle Hour.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the show. That's where I'd be this weekend if you want to catch some good Southern Miss baseball, good food, get yourself a cold PBR. Sit back and enjoy the Golden Eagles as they curb stomp Louisiana Monroe. Right, Kelly?
But I do have one other question, Bob, that you might be able to have the answer for. I woke
up very rarely, but go ahead.
I woke up this morning with a really intense desire to stay informed,
mm-hmm.
particularly about local events.
Mm-hmm.
What would if somebody else were in the boat with me and wanted to stay informed and up to date with the very latest information in local news and sports?
I go to Mo Babignette. No, I'm sorry, I got that mixed up. I would go to the Pine Belt News, your source for news and sports coverage in the Hattiesburg area.
You would?
Or if I were into fashion and weddings and things like that, I might pick up a signature magazine. And I know you're into all of that. You can get the Pine Belt News delivered to your home for just $35 a year or $55 annually. And as we pointed out yesterday, if you do it for 2 years, Andrew Abity will cut your grass all summer. And that's a heck of a promotion, Andrew.
You know, I was talking to my dad about that, and you realize I've maybe cut grass maybe 4 times in my life. My dad is he's a stickler about him cutting his own grass, so mm-hmm. never really had to do it. And I'm perfectly okay with not doing it more.
My God, I wish my father had been like that when I was growing up.
I've talked to Andrew's high school and college buddies. They said he has smoked more grass than he has ever cut.
No.
My dad used to think it was great to cut grass if he thought I had been out drinking the night before at 7 o'clock in the morning. And then when I would cut our grass, he would say, now the neighbor's grass needs... He actually did that to me 2 or 3 times.
Joe Getty was a tough dude.
I remember one day going behind the neighbor's hedge bushes and puking and then finish cutting the
grass. I'd like to end this discussion. Father was a policeman, so, you know.
He had to do what he said.
Yeah, okay.
He had to do what he said. He could lock you up.
Yeah.
All right, spring football's underway. They're at it Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Andrew talked earlier this week to USM veteran Chris Jones, and let's take a little bit of that, and then we'll get Andrew's thoughts.
Chris, it's kind of been a long time since we talked to you. I mean, just kind of tell me, you know, your kind of cycle of emotions throughout the whole coaching search. Coach Huff gets here, you stay here. Why stay here? I mean, it's kind of a lot to break down there.
Right. When Huff got here, I knew right then and there I was going to stay. I called my pops right then and there. I said, this is the place I'm going to stay. It's still home for me. And Huff has proved that all the way. You know, ever since he's been here, he's made it known that he wants to win. You feel me? We were 1-11 on the back of our shirts every day. So it's like, you know what you did. You feel me? Like, you know what you came from. Now it's time to change it. And he made that known every day. We're going to flip the script. So it's been great. I love the strength and conditioning part about it, and even practice. You know, we've been working, we've been grinding every day, trying to get better individually right now and build it as a team in the summer. So,
you know, with so many new transfers, how's it been, like, you know, adjusting and gelling with a lot of these new guys? How's it been?
At first I was like they said, I was a little scared, but all of them cool, you feel me? Like, they came in, we welcomed them in, and you know, they were cool. You know, we all hang out outside of the field, outside of football, so it's been cool. They all cool guys to be around.
Chris, can you speak to some of the things that stand out to you in terms of what's different, maybe in the strength and conditioning program, the nutrition in, things of that nature?
Discipline, all the way. Discipline is probably the most important thing, I'll say, because last year, not to knock him, but we didn't really have a lot of discipline on the field or off the field. So just seeing Huff come in with his new staff and just change that, it's been different for me. Because I had to adjust to it too, not being, you know, having discipline last year. But they so big on that, and leaders too. Like, the leaders, they make it known every day at practice, even when we're running, just conditioning, things like that. You got to step up and be a leader. And I just been seeing that out of a lot of the new guys and even former players that probably weren't leaders last year and leaders this year. So it's just good to see, for sure.
Were you surprised when the reports start coming out that it's probably going to be Coach Huff coming to Southern Miss?
Honestly, I really didn't believe it at first. I'm not going to lie, because, you know, they did win a championship at Marshall. So at first I was like, that's not real. It's probably fake news. But when he walked through that door, it was like my stomach dropped. Like it was just like feeling a joy. Like, we got a good coach, and this is where I'm going to stay, and this is where I'm going to win, for sure.
Obviously, a lot of new players, a lot of competition out there.
Right.
How are you kind of, looking at this spring, you know, to earn your spot, kind of gel the coaches?
Like, they talk about every day, like, working as an individual right now and just working on yourself. And I'm big on that right now, just working on myself, working on my relationship with God, working on my body, making sure my body's healthy, and learning the playbook and making sure I got everything down pat. And that's what I've been on, like, last couple months, just focusing on that, gaining weight and just making sure I'm maintaining my weight, you feel me? So that's really been good for me.
Chris, just seeing them film time, cut-ups, talking with the new DC, can you kind of, what's different about this scheme as opposed to what you ran last year?
It's way better. In my opinion, it's way better. Only because I say I'm actually learning football now, you know what I'm saying? Not just going out there and playing, but knowing what's going on before the play, how to read certain plays and certain formation, when to do certain things. And as far as that, it's been great, you know. It's not too much. It's a lot of thinking, but they simplify it for you, so you can go out there and actually play fast and do your job. So I like it.
You know, Chris, think about kind of what you experienced last year. A lot of your teammates aren't here anymore. You have new teammates now.
Right.
How did that kind of teach you about college football? I mean, it's been a year now since it's been a part of it.
It's actually a subject me and my friend was just talking about the other day. It's kind of hard knowing that sometimes you can make friends and then out of nowhere they either quit or they are transferred, so you really don't know. I wouldn't say you can't really make friends in college football, but it is kind of hard knowing that, like, dang, like, if something don't go right for him, he got to make a business decision for himself. And it's really not about, like, teammates. I mean, like, you got teammates, but they going to make that business decision for themselves every time, so... it's kind of hard knowing that, but that's just come with college football now. You know, it's a business, and when you chose to sign those papers, you signed up for it, so that's just how it go, for sure.
Look, obviously it's a long time from now, but, you know, some very fun Mississippi games on the schedule.
Right.
You know, just from a long point of view, how exciting is that to have that job?
I'm so excited. I'm not going to lie. Like, especially the first two games, you know, we get to play Mississippi State. I know a lot of family and friends going to be at that game here. Then right off the bat, we playing Jackson State after that. So it's like, you know, all my family Jackson State fans, most of them are. So it's like, you know, it's exciting to just know that they'll be at the game cheering me on or cheering the other team on. It really don't matter. But it's just exciting to know, like, that spotlight going to be on us, especially the first 2 weeks. So it's going to be fun.
All right, Chris Jones at spring media availability day, and he was certainly one of the players you did not want to see leave, right?
Yeah, and I don't know if this quote made it into the sound bite, but somebody asked him, what do you like about this new scheme? And he said, it's just way better. I'm actually learning football.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy. And the way he said it wasn't meant to be. Chris Jones is candid. It's what I've kind of come to learn about him. So it's not like he's throwing, you know, shade towards the previous coaching staff. He's just telling it how it is. And I thought that was perhaps the most telling quote line of the entire spring football media day on Monday.
Not all players are like this, Kelly, but I think many are, you know, kids growing up. Whether they know it or not, realize that they want to be disciplined. They want discipline in their life. And you're not a very good parent if you don't instill some discipline in your children's lives. Hearing that kid talk, the football players wanted some discipline.
And they're getting it now. You know, it's kind of be careful what you ask for because you definitely have it now. But my thoughts on Chris Jones, now remember, this guy's still very young. I mean, he was a sophomore. So... With the way that he answered those questions and the way he handled himself in just his sophomore year shows a level of maturity to me that you don't often find in sophomores. And I think, for what I know about football, which is limited, but if he continues to progress and stays healthy, I think he has a chance to be one of the real greats at Southern Miss.
I'm 100%. I fully agree with that. I mean, from a physical standpoint.
Yes.
I mean, he looks like, again, I know I mentioned said this earlier on the show, but Chris Jones looks like he's 35 years old with just a full, and he's, I mean, he is a man.
And okay? I got a kick out of the comment when he said, I'm trying hard to work on my body. I'm going, dude, if you have to work on that body, then the rest of us should forget
it. He made, as a true freshman last year, he made seniors on Southern Miss's team look out of shape. I mean, that's just how he's built.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got the personality. You know, he was second on the team in tackles last year. And based on how they were just kind of talking about him, it seems like he is going to be a imperative part of Southern Miss's defense and this upcoming year.
And you were talking, Bob, about one of the – if this were – to put it in NFL perspective, if this was a free, if he was a free agent, he would have been the first guy that I would have gone to sign for my team to keep – you know, to keep him in place, a Jamar Chase kind of guy that you want to, because he could be the anchor for that defense for the next 3 years. Regardless if Coach Huff is here or not, he could be the mainstay.
Well, Kelly, as you well know, there is a burden to have a body like Chris Jones. You guys really have to work to keep it up there, don't you?
And we don't ask for it. It was just God-given. Just God. And
what are you laughing at, Andrew?
And I just want to tell you, Andrew, it does take work to have a body like this.
You're talking about Chris Jones, right?
No, mine.
Okay, right.
Try eating 20,000 calories a day.
Oh, Lord.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour, last segment, is sponsored every day by DBAT on Hardy Street. Great place to take your children for baseball and softball training. Want to say hello to our friends at Mo Baby and Jay Company, 2902 Hardy Street, Hattiesburg. Good place to go this weekend. And if you have a weekend project, you're a DI, is it DIY or DYI?
Yeah, I can't remember. DIY, do it yourself.
If you're one of those warriors, you got to make a stop at MCS Home Center. It is the new home center for the Pine Belt. It's in Bellevue on Highway 98. They got a great staff of local people and a beautiful inventory of stuff for your home, for your yard, for everything you'll find at the big box stores, but better with local service.
If you use it in, on, or around your home, you'll find it at MCS.
Wow, listen to that segue. All right, Andrew, let's segue to you. News and notes today.
Southern Miss softball gets a win over Nicholls State, 10-4. Jana Lee, Michaela Fox both hit dingers in that one to get themselves a win. Their game under 500. They're hosting Troy this weekend. Big series for them. Troy is 20-10, but their record's a little deceiving. They've either played top five teams or, in most cases, a lot of stinkers. So I don't really know what to make of them. So they got a big one. They really need to win the series. But, you know, they got a chance to finally – I keep saying this every week. They got a chance to pick up momentum. But I've kind of been impressed with them because some of their – you know, it's the first real year Natalie Poole's been able to really shape the roster. And the freshmen she has brought in are – they're the future. I mean, they're playing well above true freshman caliber.
We heard Chris Jones talk about in-state rivalries, Jackson State, Mississippi State. That's going to happen next week in softball here in the Burg, isn't it?
Yeah, they are hosting Mississippi State. Mississippi State will probably be in the top 15 when that game rolls around. So that's another kind of big one for them, although at this point conference games really matter for Southern Miss softball.
You know, Jarrett Hoffpower was on the show a little bit earlier today, and I was talking about his dad, Johnny Hoffpower, and one of the stories that Johnny told me way back when we first met was that there's a chain of pizza places across Louisiana called Johnny's Pizza, and he always told me that those pizza places were his, I said, you know, what do you do for a living? He said, I don't have to do anything. I started Johnny's Pizzas across. And, of course, I believed him. I didn't know not to believe him, right? Well, they're not his, as it turns out. But Johnny's Pizzas are pretty popular, Andrew.
Right. Well, I first learned about him, Andrew, through Jack Duggan.
Same here.
Yeah, and yeah. So I texted Jack a minute ago, and I said, Johnny's Pizza on your schedule this weekend? And he instantly responded, it is.
I've only been once, and the few people I know who love Jack being one of them, and me and Jack have very similar food taste, but mm-hmm. It's okay. I don't get the hype, but it's good pizza. Sure, it's not the greatest pizza I've ever had, though. But
I kind of find that pizza's pizza. Does that make sense?
A little bit. Yeah, I'm kind of like there's great pizza, but more often than not, it's just pizza. It's solid.
Yeah. It's just pizza. Yeah, yeah. Kelly never saw a pizza he didn't like.
That's true. And you know, and the greatest thing since pizza are the dessert pizzas. You know, with the cinnamon and the mm-hmm. the top and the mm-hmm. frosting.
But keep
and stuff
in mind, Andrew, I saw this man sitting in my living room one day eating key lime pie and drinking a 16-ounce Budweiser.
Well, let me ask you about baseball.
Go ahead.
Real quick, you know, obviously they got Louisiana Monroe this week, but, you know, there's another big Sun Belt series that is
to watch.
Yeah, Southern Miss fans need to pay attention to. Coastal and Troy are going at it this weekend.
Yeah.
If you're a USM fan, actually, you might want Troy to actually win the series because you'll get to play Troy. You don't play Coastal down the road.
Right.
But you need them to split. You don't want one or the other to sweep it necessarily. Of course, you got to take care of business with Monroe. A hiccup would not be ideal for you in the standings. If you want to host, you got to win the regular season or the tournament, one or the other. Southern Miss fans, you got to pay attention to that one.
I hope some of the bridge jumpers listened to what our friend from D1 said. Relax about the RPI right now. Let's play baseball for a while. And what I heard him say was really the last half of the season is when it really starts counting. And that's when Southern Miss starts playing the better teams in the Sun Belt. So the opportunity to end up with a really good RPI is still there.
In a sense, a small sense, the bridge jumpers do have a point of the sense of that ODU game could maybe hurt them down the road because the front end of your conference play is much easier than the back end.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to give yourself as much cushion as you can because you've got UL and Troy in the last two weekends. And really, nobody's easy in the Sun Belt, but the better teams are in the back end.
But Andrew told the story of running into Davis Gillespie at a local coffee shop, and that same thing happened to me today at the same coffee shop.
Wow. Well,
let's hope it has the same effect that it did Tuesday night.
Right? Yeah, I'd say so.
But even Davis said, yeah, we're leaving for ULM. They're just on the bus.
Yeah, I think
now.
He's picked up on it is what it is. It's good coffee.
And he said, no, if you win two out of three in every series in this league, you're doing well.
And we're out of time, but Ozzie Pratt is working at a local pizza store? Is
yeah,
that right?
Now, I wrote about it.
There's how much NIL money this school has, right?
A day after beating Ole Miss.
Right. Tennessee guys are relaxing on their yachts, and Ozzie's working at the pizza store.
Well, the Ole Miss guys have somebody working for them.
All right, back tomorrow at 1 o'clock, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.